exciting things that are useful. KABU trains up the youth in the radio production. We have the Youth Collective. Anyone under 21 years old is welcome to come by and check it out. You can get more information at the station. Come see us, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. But in the meantime, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give. As we go now to a bit more of what we're asking you to support, make sure you make that call right now to get it out of the way and know that it will sound even better because you've done your part. 877-500-5266.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up at 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And 11 on stage and studio, D'Mae Roberts presents a one-hour Black History Month special featuring three Portland stage shows produced by and starring Black women. Thanks, KABU members, for your generous support during this winter membership drive. If you're not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. And coming up right after this announcement will be Chris Andre, host of Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. This month, because of the membership drive, the Program Advisory Committee will meet Tuesday, February 21st at 6 p.m.
Cascadia. Well, it's from Russia with Love today, Tuesday, February 14th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. And of course, we are still in the KBOO warm winter membership, sailing on through tempestuous seas. This is probably, again, I cannot say this enough times, it's probably the most critical fundraiser that the station has ever faced. Look at what is happening right now. Look at the number of government agencies, departments that are being shut down, the EPA. There are going to be tremendous clampdown on broadcasting, on free speech. There have already been rumblings of severe new laws passed against protest in any size, shape, or form. It might come in. And this is, we're barely started. He hasn't even got his government together. His government's falling apart. And of course, as we all know, Donald Trump is notoriously thin-skinned and easily provoked, and he's being provoked right now from all sides. It's some extraordinary times, during which we still have weather. Isn't that remarkable? Isn't that great? We still have weather. It's out there all the time. You can go right now, you can go outside and look at the weather. How great is that? It hasn't been thrown out of business for corruption. The weather hasn't been canceled. The weather hasn't been terminated because of some billionaire's whim. Nope, it's out there right now. Mostly sunny today, highs around 51, but it's that glorious hazy late winter type of sun, that watery milk glass sun. And we've got north winds 13 to 15 miles per hour, gusting up to 24 miles per hour. Let me tell you from personal experience exactly where they are gusting up to 24 miles per hour, and perhaps even higher. And that would be out in the direction of the gorge. By tonight, we should have a low around 33, same type of wind situation for tomorrow. Same thing, partly sunny, highs around 50, winds dropping off a bit, and could get a little bit of rain and tomorrow night. Joining us today, anyone who's listened to the Air Cascadia for a long time now, might recall that far back there in March, when the world we live in now is inconceivable, I had a guest on the show, Billy Wilson, and he said that a judge in North Dakota had stopped the Dakota Access Pipeline from going through. Later on in the autumn, Billy called again. And it turns out that, the judge had changed, turned her back on that initial ruling on the pipeline, and it indeed was going to go forward. And at that point, people began to congregate, first at Sacred Stone Camp, and then we had Standing Rock. And then, from there on, camps have proliferated, action camps, all manner of camps all around this area. And Billy has been a frontliner right from the get-go. He is a member of the Humpapa Lakota Sioux, the Sitting Bull clan. And he is part of the earth. He is part of the story. He's not a tourist visiting Standing Rock. Good morning, Billy. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're so grateful to you for being back on the airways again.
Oh, yeah, I haven't been back there for a while. Right now, I'm kind of stuck dealing with my own house and stuff. I'm lots of months behind in my house payments and taxes, so I'm trying to do something about that.
That's always the way. Isn't it extraordinary that First Nations always seem to be last in the line when the wealth of the nation is being handed out? But you were part of the beginning of this whole action at Standing Rock. You were one of the frontliners. Went out, took a stand, and said, no, the Dakota Access Pipeline will not go through, not on my watch, not on my land, not on my ancestors. Can you talk about why Standing Rock is important to you personally?
Well, it's where my grandma and my grandparents come from. You know, they come out here to Oregon in the 40s, and my family just pretty much stayed here, you know, but then my mom and all them, they went to Chamawa, you know, for that simulation, but it didn't all take hold on all of us, you know. We still know who we are and stuff, and so when they made that call, you know, I had to go back there, you know, my peoples, as a sun dancer and a movement person, you know, go back, do the best I can. I was there from, like, the middle of May to the end of September, and so, yeah, we've encountered a lot of things now, and I'm pretty heartbroken on what they're doing now. It's like they're opening season on us, where you can run us over, and seems like any time now they're going to start killing our people, you know. I just hope like hell and nothing comes like that, because who knows how things can turn out, you know, because we try to be peaceful and prayerful, but at the end, you know, we have a right to protect ourselves, and we just hope it don't come to that point, you know, that through peace and prayer, you know, we're trying to make change in the minds of those that control things, you know, the pipeline people and the government and stuff, but so far they just still got their fingers in their ears, you know, and only see dollar signs, and this seems like mankind and elements that the Creator give all of us for life, you know, it just doesn't matter to them, so I don't know, a lot of us are pretty stumped and in awe and heartbroken, and a lot are still determined to still be there and no matter what, you know, and right now they're in a cleanup mode there to get that main camp cleaned up out of there before the floods come. Meanwhile, our people are dealing with, you know, intrusions from the FBI and the BIA and, you know, that county there and stuff, and now they got to be on the defensive too, just being on the road, you know.
Yeah, whether people like yourself, part of the First Nations diaspora, ending up in Oregon and so forth, and still deeply connected to the earth where you come from, Standing Rock seems to also itself be part of the First Nations diaspora, just as you and your family spread out. As far as Oregon, Standing Rock is spread out across the whole world. It seems that the Dakota Access Pipeline brought back people who had been tossed to the four winds, the four directions. Do you want to tell us more about we're in membership drive right now. Just a final thought from you on where Standing Rock goes now. It pretty much covered the earth, and now they still want to put the pipeline through. What's the next step?
Well, people are still trying to resist there and stuff, but I have this idea, you know, that, God, if somehow we lose this and they do this anyways, you know, that they ought to put that pipeline in another line or two, you know, to at least not run a single line, run two or three lines within each other, you know, and have that outer pipeline. I'd rather like to see them come to some holding ponds on each side of the river in case it does leak. It would bleed out to those ponds first instead of into the river, you know, as a last resort measure, you know. We prefer not to be it done at all, you know, because... And in our way, hey, if you can't take it this earth, you know, you don't deserve no other planet because you just do the same thing there too, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's exactly probably what would happen. But it might leave if the land of your ancestors to you, your bloodline is, of course, attached to everything, the wind, the weather, for that matter, and the land, the air, everything, the water. So as one of the frontline water protectors, thank you so much.
Well, everybody's life connected to that. It's just that, you know, we mm-hmm. have respect for those things and live with those things. Other people seem to think that they're better and mm-hmm. and want to conquer them kind of things, you know, but... That ain't our way, you know. And one thing good about this pipeline, it's brung our people together, you know. It's brung our seven consoles together, you know. It's bringing awareness of colonialism and the issues that we face, you know. And hopefully we can heal and deal with those things, become better within ourselves and our tribes and our families and all, at the very least, you know. That there be change like that, not for us. And not just for us, but for the whole world, you know. We all got to start thinking different and living different, you know, and only take what we just need in life, not for the greed of life, you know.
Thank you so much, Billy. I'm so glad that you were able to join us on very short notice right now today during our winter membership drive and during a critical point in the water protectors' direction where the action is coming to the fore, and really there are some serious considerations as to direction and strategy and tactics at this point, and of course that deep connection that Billy talks about. Thank you so much for that. I would like to leave it on that note, but I really have to let you know that Putin last week has deployed a new type of cruise missile. Again, this is not exactly what Trump wanted to see from his good friend Vladimir Putin. That said, we want to let you know too that here we go again with the Jordan Cove LNG problem. FERC has accepted the Jordan Cove pre-filing application. It's time to get active down there. Really important. This is where Billy Wilson has just talked a lot about the importance of where you're connected to the earth. This is where we're connected to the earth and to the sea and to the air, to land, everything. If the oceans die, we die. That's the end of it. And Jordan Cove would be just another nail in the coffin, so to speak. Something seriously to think about. And don't forget, also, we are right now in the middle of a week of action on the No Dakota Access Pipeline. This is a week of solidarity, and there are many actions that you can take. I cannot list all of them right now. And if you can't find anything that you feel connected to, start your own. Start your own. Every bit that we can do, every word that we speak on behalf of First Nations and of all nations, it makes a big difference. So that's it. And other news items, as everyone knows, Flynn is out in the midst of massive controversy. Many other stories emerging. Too much of a movie plot line to even get started on. This is Bineka